Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osier continue their discussion on the formula of concord, looking at Article 2 on free will. The Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary is hosting its annual Summer Institute of Theology lecture event. It happens on the first full week of August. This year's instructor lineup includes Brad Pribbenow teaching on praying the Psalms, Sam Wellemson on law and gospel preaching, the Free Lutheran Bible College faculty on various topics related to practical theology and ministry. To register, visit flbc.edu/SIT. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are into a new article in the formula as we continue to walk through article number 2.
We are back on a DC track that's jacked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to keep in the vein of 90s references, it's hard not to see Free Willy.
Free Willy?
Yeah, the whale.
How many sequels of Free Willy were there? Do we
Free
know?
Free Willy 17.
Not enough. Yeah. That's all I know. Not enough.
The world needs more movies about killer whales. More sequels. Yeah.
How big do you think a female orca gets, Jason?
I prefer never to answer any questions about any female weight, so I'm going to pass on that.
8,800 pounds, Jason.
Oh, wow.
That's a big mama.
Yeah. 4.5 tons.
Yeah.
And this is a big whale of a topic.
Wow.
Oh, that was bad. That was really bad. Sorry about that.
Dad jokes. Yeah. We've resorted to it.
Well, if anybody is the dad joke of dad jokes, that would be me out of us three. So I think we can let it slide.
I mean, I am the public joker of dad jokes on Twitter, though.
Yeah,
I do
that's
that.
True.
Yeah. But my dad jokes are quality.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Prime
Thanks.
Choice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long do you think an orca could live? Take a guess.
I guess 60, 70 years.
That's right about, yeah.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed that. I would have said like 30 or 40 maybe. 50 to 90.
Yeah.
50 to 90 years.
That's interesting.
That's an old,
now,
speaking of old people.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess I was going to say, I wonder if the orca has free will.
Whoa.
I mean.
Wow.
Anyway, so going back to old people, did you guys hear that, never mind. This is going to come out later. Okay. It'd be fine, but it's the President Tyler, his grandson just died.
Oh yeah,
at the time of this recording. Yeah, what a crazy talk about lifespans. What a crazy circumstance that was.
I that was on The World and Everything In It this morning of the recording.
Yeah,
and like James Tyler, President James Tyler, had a kid when he was 65. That kid had his son when he was 73.
I think it was 63 and 75, but yeah. Doesn't matter.
And that grandson just died
at 96.
At 96.
This week that we're recording.
That's amazing.
It's insane. Yeah, speaking of old people. And,
you know, it feels like the American Revolution was a while ago.
It does,
And yet we were only two generations away from it.
Crazy.
Interesting. Yeah.
Needless to say, he never knew his grandfather.
Yeah.
As luck would have it. Anyway, free will.
Anywho. Yeah, we are looking at free will and the formula of concord. And I think I'm going to go ahead and read the first paragraph for us. And of course, there's the whole rest of the article. And then there's everything in the, drawing a blank. Never mind. I'm just going to read it.
All right. Well, and before you do, I want to introduce this topic.
Yeah.
From my money, I think this is the second most important article in the formula. After the on election, Article 11, this is just massive for modern Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The topic of free will and everything, it's a huge topic.
Right. Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do. I mean, we talked last time about original sin and thinking of baptism and salvation. I mean, there's so many things tied in with this. So I'm going to go ahead and read this for us, this first paragraph. The question at issue in this controversy, it says, the will of man may be discussed in four different states: before the fall, after the fall, after regeneration, after the resurrection of the flesh. In this controversy, the primary question revolves exclusively about man. man's will and ability in the second state. The question is, what powers does man possess in spiritual matters after the fall of our first parents and before his regeneration? Can man, by his own powers, before he is reborn through the Holy Spirit, dispose and prepare himself for the grace of God? Can he or can he not accept the grace of God offered in the Word and the Holy Sacraments? And that's a great opening paragraph for us.
Yeah. No.
All right. Well, I guess our work here is
done.
Thank
you for listening to the Being Lutheran podcast. We'll see you next time for Article 3.
You want to know the thing that gets me on this is no matter how many times in my ministry that I have taught about free will, And we're not going to be secretive here. I mean, we're going to argue that we don't have free will after the fall to make decisions in line with becoming regenerated, right? We don't have the ability to choose God, that sort of thing. No matter how many times I teach on this, no matter how many times I point out in all the various areas of Scripture, which we'll discuss, all of those things. At the end of the day, I'll have a student, for instance, right back. Well, it really all comes down to free will. Have we chosen God or not? No.
On a weekly basis in the college.
It's insane
Is that right?
And it's like no matter how many times you say this, part of it is there, you know, with some of these things, we got to be careful because it's fun to become argumentative and to argue about theology for the sake of having, and that's what happens in our situation in a college dorm, especially a Bible college, you're discussing these things, you're going back and forth, but in reality, this is a big deal because it comes down to the nature and character of God. It's not something to be trifled with. The conversations that we have, I mean, it shouldn't just be, it's not just, well, you can have this opinion, I can have this opinion. No, it's like, are we helping God is really the functional answer. Are we helping God? Do we meet him halfway? Mm-hmm. And that's where we find ourselves.
I think
the crux of the issue.
And this is like the foundational article for the generic American church. Like free will is fundamental to the generic American church. And maybe it's the perfect topic to illustrate that we don't respond to bad theology with equally bad theology. And, the, you know, whether you're doing the, you know, stand for something instead of against something, but you end up with this weird sort of understanding of free will because you either screw up original sin and you're reacting against, well, it's not fair that I'm held accountable for Adam's sin. Well,
hence the last article of the formula. Right?
Yeah, there's like a building off of that. Yeah.
Or it's an overreaction to Calvinism. And it's an Arminian overreaction to Calvinism because Calvinism has the perseverance of the saints and the limited atonement, you know, and double predestination and all of that. And we don't like, and from a Lutheran perspective, rightly so, we don't like the idea of reprobation. We don't like that God damns people to hell before the foundations of the world, right?
Right.
That does not mean we have utter free will in our salvation. And that is to fall off the other side of the horse. Mm-hmm. And getting this one right after original sin, Chemnitz and Andreae, this is brilliant ordering. I really love the way the formula is structured because the structure of the articles tell us a story. And they give us Augsburg Confession does a pretty good job. Melanchthon did it. And the problem with the Augsburg Confession, it's 28 articles long. It gets a little bit meandering. But at 13 articles, the formula gets right to the point.
Packs a punch.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah, and I guess thinking, too, of this topic as we introduce it and think about it. And I mean, I love the four states of...
Yeah, brilliant.
I mean, that's a great way to start thinking about this. I guess I think of how people talk about free will in terms of, you know, well, God doesn't want robots or... is there a possibility for love? And I'm just thinking of some things that people use almost like a presupposition, like you're saying, like a foundational thing for the GAC. Any introductory responses to some of that? And maybe we'll get into it too, but just as we ease into this here.
Well, I would say requisite reading. If this is the first you're hearing of a Lutheran perspective on this issue, if you're, you know, a lot of our listeners are coming into Lutheran theology and they've found us as a podcast and, you know, this kind of eye-opening thing, I think to really get to the crux of this article, it's almost necessary that you spend at least a little bit of time understanding what the argument of bondage of the will is. If you don't understand bondage of the will, this argument will be hard for you to gain the proper perspective on because you've been catechized poorly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lutheran churches, in general, we don't catechize well on this subject, but if you're importing either generic American evangelicalism or elements of the Roman Catholic Church or Calvinism, this is one of the places in Christendom where Lutherans plant their flags and we say, we got this right. But if you come to that point with baggage, you're not going to get there. And so I think the starting point, these four categories, are really, really important to understand why we even have to take this stand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you guys would say, you know, if there's somebody that's coming with that baggage of, like, the GAC baggage, just look at that point number two, since the fall, before,
yep.
I mean, mm-hmm. and that's how we zero in here.
I think it's also important, and I think we as people tend to categorize things inappropriately, which is not a profound statement in any way, but it's a reality, right? And so when we think of free will, we hear of free will, and we have a bucket we think of as free will, and we chalk up spiritual free will to being exclusive to that bucket. So Jason and I chose to eat at a chicken establishment prior to recording today.
And that, it was a good decision.
It was a good decision.
And meat, right, and salutary.
We had many options before us. You know, we live in a metro area. There are many places we could have gone. We chose this one.
And yet we choose the same two repeatedly.
And yes, it's either sushi or Dave's Hot Chicken. One of those two options. But the... at the end of the day, we do make those decisions. I chose today to wear a long sleeve shirt because of the weather. We do those things, choosing, but that's not what's being discussed here. What's being discussed here is spiritual free will. And I think we need to be, clarified there. And when we talk about spiritual free will and we look at scripture, I just cannot get my mind around those who would say, yeah, originally, we talked about a few weeks ago, right? Now at this point, we talked about William Lane Craig in his, you know, argument against original sin. It's just, I don't get it. From scripture, it doesn't make sense. Logically, it might feel like, well, I chose Dave's Hot Chicken today. I choose Jesus today. Duh. You know, but that's not how it works.
Right.
One of the best critiques I've heard about evangelicals, about that kind of Arminian wing of the Protestant church, is how they invert the arguments about free will. And I can't remember, I wish I would have recorded the source on this because I just thought it was brilliant and succinct. But the commentator said, he said, the problem with the American church is that we put free will where it doesn't belong and we rob free will where it does belong. And so if you're talking to your average American evangelical Protestant, they will claim absolute free will in spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. I made a decision for Jesus. I decide what worship is best for me, all of these things. They will ascribe no free will in matters of humanity in daily life decisions, and they will be utterly paralyzed about jeopardizing the will of God.
Because, and I chose to wear that pair of socks today instead of,
Well, and in seminary, we had repeatedly those kind of anecdotes of pastors who knew people like, Pastor, I just can't function. I don't know what pair of socks God wants me to wear today. Kind of afraid that they were going to be thwarting the will of God by doing something that they had a choice in.
Yeah.
And this is, again, you start to see how this snowball builds rapidly when you're importing kind of a la carte bad doctrine from multiple different categories. And like you said, Adam, the whole problem is a category problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the free will situation in my history too, there's so many avenues of where this plays out, and it really the whole idea of the problem of evil comes down to this as well, right? Mm-hmm. One of the common arguments that people will make that, well, how can a good God exist in a world, exist when the world is the way that it is with evil? And one of the, Christian arguments for that is free will. Like, the people have free will to choose, and God didn't want automaton. And at the end of the day, that's partially correct.
Yeah, but it's not the trump card that people think.
It isn't. No, it's got to be qualified and nuanced before the fall. You're absolutely right. I think Adam and Eve did have that sort of autonomy and decision-making power that we no longer have, right? So if you go back all the way to Adam and Eve, yeah, we can have that conversation. But a lot of people wanting to have that conversation, blaming free will as the reality why the problem of evil exists, you have to go all the way back to Adam and Eve, but they don't. And that's an issue.
Yeah, which is why, again, goes back to kind of before we went down that rabbit trail a little bit, those four categories are very helpful. When we talk about the role of free will in the life, we're not talking, no one's talking about the role, did Adam and Eve have free will? Okay. It's two people. Every conservative Christian across denominations has no real question about that. They weren't robots, but it's not important to the discussion because we're never going to get that back in this life. We can't get there. I think even the holiness wing of the church, the Wesleyans and the Nazarenes and stuff, in their quest for Christian perfection, would probably admit we're not getting back to Genesis 1 and 2. Maybe there's a couple of people that say we can get there, but I doubt it, right? Mm-hmm. And so then it's...
The chief question is after that.
The chief question is after that point. Now, the next two categories are the interesting ones. What does our will look like since the fall, but before regeneration? And what does our will look like as Christians after regeneration? This article in the formula only addresses the first part of that. Mm-hmm. Now, as Lutherans, following with the Book of Concord, we would say that second half, or which would be the third category here, that's a third use of the law question. That's probably the heading we'd put it under. But again, that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're not talking about with how we operate as Christians. What we're really talking about with free will theologically is, can you, as an unconverted, unrepentant unbeliever, can you get yourself to God without the Holy Spirit, without the means of grace, without any of that? That's the question, because that's the fight the Lutherans in 1580 were having continually with the Roman Catholic Church, and then others were chiming into that conversation.
Yeah. So keep going, like, along those same lines, but then, like, looking ahead to that third category, the second question that you pose, what about after regeneration?
Yeah.
What does it look like there? We read Scripture in a way that we tend to miss the context so often in Scripture. That's just a hermeneutical problem or an interpretation problem. We just completely ignore context. But one of the examples, and this just comes to top of mind for me, but like in Romans chapter 6, Paul, like, five times either says, present yourself in such and such a way, or don't present yourself in such and such a way. I think five times at the end of chapter 6. And as you look at the end of chapter 6, all of these things are, do this, do this, do this. And it's active. You are to be doing this. It is, you are to take your will and make these decisions to present your bodies as slaves to righteousness. Okay, that's a call. And it seems to me that there is a free will aspect there. And people read that, well, see, this is what we need to do. But you don't understand that Paul is not saying do this to get saved. He's saying, do you not realize that you who've been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? That's the first part of the chapter.
How do we who have died to sin continue to live in it?
Continue to live in it. Exactly. So how are we? So it's these people who have died to sin, right? And I think we'll talk about death later when we get to Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 2 about, you know, what does dead mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I just preached that text recently.
But this yeah. whole idea of this old nature,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You know, being crucified with Christ and raised again to new life is a game changer. And when we see it in Scripture, go and do this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why does Joshua say that? Because he's redeemed.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a decision-making theology,
yeah.
you know, proof right. text. That's yeah. not what that's not what's going on in Joshua. You know, and anyway.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if we've actually said the clear, this is what we believe
yeah.
here, but, you know, as we start to wrap up this episode here, I don't know, Jason, if you could give us like a affirmative statement of this is what we believe, what we teach, what we confess about this doctrine of free will.
Yeah, there are three summary statements right from the beginning of this article I think are crucial to lay out where we're going from here, because you can't triangulate what you disagree with unless you know what you believe, right? So the first statement, in spiritual matters, the understanding and reason of mankind are completely blind and by their own powers understand nothing. We no longer are capable of understanding the things of God because we have a degenerate mind. Not a regenerate mind. We have a degenerate or an unregenerate mind.
Mm-hmm.
The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. That's kind of the principle we're talking about there. Second point, the unregenerate will of mankind is not only turned away from God, but also has become God's enemy. Massive point. Mm. Yeah, there's no neutral, you know, and that atheist principle, that non-belief is a neutral position.
There's no tabula rosa or whatever.
Yeah, we're not clean saints.
clean yep. slate, yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the final point is God the Holy Spirit does not bring about conversion without means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that particularly Lutheran distinctive, and we've leaned into that at several points. But that's what we believe, teach, and confess. Those are the three points, right? We can't understand it on our own because we're sinners. It's not just that we're neutral or apathetic towards God. It's we actively oppose God. We are enemies. And then if we're going to be saved, the Holy Spirit saves through means. And those are our three starting points.
And interestingly enough, I want to be just to add to that. In every one of those points, when they make that, they give Scripture.
Yep.
That is
yeah.
very clear.
Right.
Like mind of that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law and cannot. Romans 8:7, right? They cite 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of God for their folly to him. And then the means one, you know, you have that argument that faith comes by hearing. In hearing by the word of Christ, which is the word, right? That the word does the work. So all of these things, when we're making these arguments, I think when we're talking, this is polemical, right? A lot of this is polemics. This is, we're not usually talking to, you know, Buddhists about, you know, having this free will. We could be, you know, that we don't believe that. We're going to be having this conversation with other Christians, with Christians of different stripes and different beliefs on this. But let's go to Scripture. What does it say?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Chemnitz here. He just does that.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
The systematician that he was, just walking down point by point, clearly, yeah. logically laying things out and defending it with the word. That's what's going on here. I love that. Anyway, that's a side note, but it's yeah. I really appreciate that.
And that's great. And you know, listener, as you walk with us in this journey of wrestling with this and praying that you go to Scripture and follow here what we're saying and what this confession says. And to see what your conviction grows to be or is strengthened by. And for those that do believe this, we pray that you are strengthened in this.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the formula of Concord. If you would like more information about the Bible school or seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.